already know those words.
Here it comes.
La 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 la.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Welcome to the Pearhead Podcast. I am Ryan Middledorf.
I'm Patrick McDonald. This is your podcast for all things Jimmy Buffett. And today we're discussing for the first time a completely new studio album made by our guy, Jimmy Buffett.
This is crazy. I can't believe this day is finally here.
Can you believe it? The day is finally here, and it's this day, in this week, in this month, in this year.
Arguably the worst time to be anybody anywhere in this album comes out.
I would say historically the worst possible time of all time. Well, in terms of when music was being released on albums.
Yes.
I would say this is the worst time to release the album. But he had the plan and he went through with it. And we're happy it's here. It's one good thing that's happened this year. But there's a lot of awful things that happened this year, and they are weighing on me heavily, like waves crashing into my soul, Ryan.
Oh yeah,
a Jimmy Buffett
analogy
you can understand.
Yeah. for anybody that's been following the Pearhead Podcast, we have been recording very infrequently.
We have,
and
yeah. Follow is interesting. I wouldn't even say you could follow us. I could say you could have chance encounters with us.
Yeah. and we've been recording remotely. Patrick, yeah. You've been in Colorado for the primarily the whole duration of this quarantine.
I've
been here in Los Angeles.
Yeah. We've been separate. We've been going through it. We've had a lot of changes in our lives.
Yes.
Constantly look at photos of me before the quarantine and am exhausted by how much older I feel like I look now.
Oh my god. Me too. I have bags under my eyes at all times.
Constantly. I don't eat very well.
Nope. Nope. Not at all. I'm basically just living off of coffee.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Me too.
Which is no way to live.
It's absolutely no way to live.
No. But it's been a few weeks since we've released an episode. We're recording this right now on May 31st,
yeah.
the Sunday after a bunch of protesting and riots started throughout the country. So, like we mentioned, this is just a very strange time to be doing this episode on top of, you know, COVID-19
yeah.
and social distancing.
Yeah, and I also do, to speak on this a little bit, not to get too heavy, which is, it's so funny because it's like, finally, let's listen to this review of this new album, and we're going to be talking about this first and foremost. I've been having a difficult time rationalizing my love of Jimmy Buffett, because Jimmy Buffett is for so many people a white, like the symbol of being a white artist, or a symbol, like Jimmy Buffett is a white stereotype, right? And in our community, in the Parrothead community, I haven't seen a lot of support for Black Lives Matter. I haven't seen any support. I haven't seen any support for the black men and women in your life. If you are a fan, how it's affecting you, what's going on. This has been an injustice that's been happening in the world much longer than all of us. But this is a real zenith moment where we can stand up together and fight for the people we love and care about. So I would like to urge all of you to show your support in any way. Social media, donate. If you send a receipt of a donation to the Parrothead Podcast, to Minnesota Freedom Fund, or any of the bailout funds for the protesters or Black Lives Matter, we'll give you a Marvin Gardens name. How's that sound, Ryan?
Yes.
I think that's literally less than the least we can do. But I would love to see your support. I tweeted about it on Friday, I believe. It was not received well. And I think it was not. People didn't say anything negative. They didn't say anything at all. But I would say silence is complicit with the oppressor. So I would urge everyone to speak up, even if you feel awkward doing it. It's not about your feelings right now. It's about the people you love and care about that are in pain. And if there are, if you can't think of any black people in your life that you love and care about, then that's an issue in itself. And I think you need to look inward and figure that out. That's all I wanted to say. I've had a lot on my mind.
Yeah, but no, yeah. And you know, I think that, you know, we should take a step further. I think we should make a donation from the Parrothead podcast, and
let's do it.
You know,
let's
really
do it.
Put our money where our mouth is, and
let's do it.
You know, make an effort to work towards systemic change, which so dearly needs to happen throughout the country, because it's just. It's just bonkers. This whole weekend has been just insane. I've never, you know, I certainly have never witnessed anything like this in my lifetime. I, you know, would have hoped that we would have never had to have experienced
this
in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's happening, and it's happening, you know, day after day, and, you know, month after month, and year after year. This is not the first time that we have had this conversation. It's not the first time that we've been in this situation, but it's clear that this is sort of the enough is enough, hopefully the enough is enough turning point.
Right.
So
I think
let's just work towards that, work towards change, and hopefully we can just get through this and come out better for it. So
absolutely. And if you guys have any questions, we're happy to answer them. I've also been thinking about how Jimmy Buffett has a very funny story about how he got on top of a cop car. Isn't that a thing?
Yes, it's a thing. Yep.
And if Jimmy Buffett was not a white man, that story would not be funny. I think there's just some moments. I would call for Jimmy Buffett to throw out a little Black Lives Matter on his social media. I know he believes it. I know he truly does. And I think with all of his work and all of his support of Caribbean cultures and all Caribbean people in his life that he loves, I know he supports it. I don't know if anyone else is pressing him on it. I would love to press him on it. I know social media feels like screaming into a void, but I think people need to fill that void right now. So I wouldn't be self-conscious about that. Let's make a donation. Ryan, let's do it.
Yep.
I'll donate more money.
Yep.
I have more money. Let's do it. I have more money, okay? I'm currently... if this unemployment
Patrick,
check is
we
doing
anything...
We
know you have more money.
Look, I want to donate my entire stimulus to it, to be honest.
Absolutely.
I also have to figure out my life.
You also have to be a person that eats and takes care of himself.
True. And yeah. We'll figure this out. But we have to do more. So I
absolutely.
It weighed on me today. Even thinking about being able to enjoy this album is a privilege in its own right. Because you can escapism is a privilege in its own right. Like we're able to escape because we have a mentality, you know. So.
And we are completely aware that this is a very, very silly, stupid thing to be talking about right now, this album.
Yes.
So we're, you know, just take this review with a grain of salt. You know, I think if COVID-19 was the only thing that was happening right now, this would be a little more, you know, palatable and easy to talk about, but the fact that, like we said, it's on this day, this weekend, during this year, it just feels strange. But we're going to work through it.
We are. We've talked a lot.
We're gonna make it happen.
Yeah. We're going to. We're here. We have been looking forward to this for years, Ryan. We contain multitudes. We can discuss this as well, but just know that our hearts are with all the protesters, and our hearts are with the black families out there that are suffering. And we look forward to doing things. And I urge all of our fans and listeners to do the same.
Well said.
So let's figure out, let's just have a strategy meeting on how we transition right now. Let's have a break.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Okay.
I am going to... throw it to you.
Okay.
And you are going to tell me what your latest Instagram video has been about.
Oh, I haven't been and posting then... Instagram videos this week.
Okay, perfect. Okay, great. Tell me something funny that happened to you pre this weekend.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. Okay. Here's something that happened that goes in terms of pain as well. So every morning, new Colorado Pat, wild guy. I go up. Okay. I go on a 20-mile bike ride every day. That's the thing
did
that
you
I do.
Up it?
I have upped it. I do 20 miles.
Oh my!
Yesterday I did 25. Today, to be honest, I did 10. I was exhausted, but I tried a new route and it didn't work out. But last week I was biking and I looked down on my hands and I thought I saw a tick. And I got so scared that I had a tick on my hand that I turned my bike and I crashed into a wall.
Patty. You crashed into... How fast were you going, do you think?
I was probably going 8 to 10 miles per hour. I cut up all sorts of parts of my body. My shoulder, my arm, my leg. All because I thought I had a tick on my hand. And I couldn't find the tick afterwards. So that was something that was really fun. A little bit of self-pain there.
Oh, dear.
It was tough. It was a tough situation. What about you, Ryan? What's something that happened this week that was silly? Well, I do know something that happened this week for you that's actually fun. New life came into the world. Not this week, but...
Yes. It was a week on Friday. We got a brand new little puppy.
Wow. Wild stuff. Really
wild
exciting.
Stuff. We get a brand new little puppy. She is she's a Labradoodle. She's a chocolate Labradoodle.
Bodie?
She's got a little Bodie. Bodie is her name. She's
Bodie.
Got a little white stripe running down her chest, and she is the cutest little puppy and just wants to just cuddle up to you nonstop. And she wakes up very early in the morning, which is so fun.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
Yeah.
It's been great. We we did it because we wanted our dog Bagels to have a sister. As most people know, we moved to Burbank. We've got like a little yard now, so the dog has a place to run around, and we thought that this was a perfect time to get a little sister for Bagels, and we did it, and Bagels was not a fan for the first 5 days.
Really? Bagels was not into it?
Really. She was not into it.
She what was she
just
doing?
Running away from... She so, like, you know, she, like, Bodie's a puppy,
yeah.
And she's just always in everybody's face at all times, and... So she would just, like, run up to Bagels and jump up and, like, swat at her or, like, grab her tail and just chase her. And, you know, Bagels isn't – she's not old, but she's not young. She's, like, 3 years old. So,
wow.
You know, she's kind of used to it being just her.
Yeah.
And then this new little thing is here in her life and just terrorizing her 24/7.
Wow. And she, Bagels is pretty – just. Pretty much like, give me my space. Bagels is very...
Exact, yes.
Yeah, personality-wise, Bagels likes to be left alone at certain points.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
She does. Like, she's
a little
very,
moody.
Very lovey to... Yeah, she is. She's very, very lovey to a certain extent, but then after that, once she has emptied her love bucket for the day, then she's like, okay, I'm going to go lay down and sleep for a little bit. I'll see you guys later. Don't bug me.
Yes, perfect.
And Bodhi's personality is, you know, kind of the opposite, where it's like, I need to see you, I need to be around you at all times, or I will get very sad.
Wow.
So, so it's been fun kind of seeing them work through that. They've gotten to a point where they can lay down on the couch semi-next to each other now and, you know, fall asleep. But that's about as far as we've gotten. So, you know, baby steps, we're getting there.
Okay. Good. That's exciting. I think, do you feel like Bagels has, is going to adopt maybe an older sibling vibe or parental vibe? What do you think is going to be the Bagels to Bodie, relationship?
I think it's going to turn into kind of like a sibling sort of thing, because they will like chase each other around and play, but
okay.
it's you know, like it's all fun and games until someone bites your tail, you know?
Yeah.
So I think once they get past that, I think they're gonna have a lot of fun together. So it's just getting to that point that
yeah.
I think is going to take some time. But we're getting there.
Okay, good. That's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna get
yeah.
there. And I think you're going to have a fun little crew of golden doodles that you can walk around. Labradoodles. Golden doodles?
So Bagels is a golden doodle. Bodhi's a labradoodle.
Wow. Okay.
That's, I
know. And now I'm just realizing Bonkers. The full scope of that. Yeah. That's wow. Will they get along? This is going to be a real test.
It's a true will they, won't they
yeah.
situation. Yeah. Yeah.
Will they, won't they with siblings. Yeah. It's very sweet.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so that's going good. And then outside of that, I've been watching way too many episodes of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Really? That's the new thing we're on, huh?
That's the new thing. Download the Food Network Go app on the Apple TV, and I
wow.
have just been taking trips to Flavortown just as much as I can bear it.
What a hero. That's great. I mean, he's a blast. You know, speaking of cooking, I had some desserts that I had some desserts that I was looking at kind of as a bucket list situation for my quarantine. And this week I made a tiramisu.
Ooh, wow. And how did that turn out?
It was incredible. It's the best thing I've ever made in my life. And I miss it every
Amazing.
Day.
Amazing.
It was so good. It was so, I couldn't believe it. I kept thinking, have you ever made something? And while you were eating it, you were like, I made this? Like, I made it.
Yeah.
And I kept being like, well, someone else must have come in. Like, I couldn't, like, I was fully disassociating. Like, I was like, this is me? It was incredible.
Did you make, like a small tiramisu, or did you make, like, a big one for, like,
no,
the whole
gigantic.
Family?
It was gigantic. It was for the whole family.
Oh, my God.
It was really big. It was, like, two whole packages of Ladyfingers. And then...
Wow.
Because a tiramisu, basically, how much time you got? It's Ladyfingers soaked in coffee and rum, or a
yep.
cognac, or a Grand Marnier, and then that's one layer, and then a layer of mascarpone mixed with like egg yolks and sugar, and then a layer of whipped cream, and then Ladyfingers again, mascarpone again, whipped cream again, and then dusted with chocolate powder on the top, and so it's
yes.
like a big, thick, crazy ass thing. It's so good. So you have a dog,
good
I have
you.
A tiramisu. Yes, that's us.
Oh, wow. We're doing great.
Yeah, it's good. Ryan, should we just get into this album?
Let's just discuss it.
I'm a little jittery.
I am too. Since this is the first new album that we have talked about, I want to just get your overall thoughts before we kind of dive in. So how many times have you listened to this? When did you listen to it? Where did you listen to it? What was your mindset? Give me the whole rundown.
So I think I've listened to this three full times. I listened to this on a drive to the bike to a bike ride. I listened to it on a full bike ride, and then I listened to it on a bike ride this morning. So I'm listening to it when I'm exercising. Might be the first person who's ever done that to this album. But it's so I'm really taking in the words, because I'm like really thinking of it and really listening to it. And I get in kind of a meditative place when I bike ride. So I was really paying attention to the album this morning. And overall, I find it to be a blast. I think it is
yeah.
so much fun. I think it has some little strange things to it, but as far as his albums, this is the closest of his older albums to sound like his younger albums, for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing to me. I think there's some really fun blasts of songs here. Some of them that I'm a little like, what's going on here? But but it wouldn't be a Jimmy Buffett album without one of those, or two of those, or three of those, or half of those.
Sure.
So I really love it. What about you, Ryan?
I also have listened to it probably three times. I have only listened to it when I've been incredibly still.
Okay. So we've had different listening experiences.
Very different listening experiences. And most times it's me listening to it with my AirPods on while I wake up with Bodhi at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of standing outside, half awake, half asleep, while she does not go to the bathroom.
Okay.
So that's really been my primary mode in terms of listening to this album.
Okay. Somewhere between 4 and 5 a.m. staring at a dog who won't pee.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that's how I like to listen to all my music, really.
I know. I heard about that. Yeah.
It's just a personal preference.
Yeah.
I think this album is terrific. I was a little concerned with the first couple songs because to me, just out of the sequencing of this album, they didn't sound, they didn't blow me away necessarily.
Right.
But I will say that I think in terms of the track list, I think this is one of the best Buffett albums in terms of that.
Yeah.
I think it is so well put together. It's so well paced. And I think it's an album that's clearly made for Parrotheads and nobody else.
Yes. I think it's fully, fully, purely for current fans of Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, I really, really, really don't think he is trying to win over anybody.
No.
At this point.
No.
Because it's the perfect balance of Sweet Jimmy, classic Gulf and Western stuff, honky tonk, schmaltzy, goofy. It's got literally everything. It's the perfect smorgasbord of Jimmy Buffett song types. And I think it's right. I think it's right up there. I would put it on par with like Take the Weather With You and like Beach House on the Moon, I think.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. I probably like this one a little bit better than Beach House on the Moon, maybe. But it's definitely, yeah. I would put this in the solid middle of his oeuvre.
Yeah, yeah. It's so good. It's so solid. And something that, you know, we've been kind of talking about what we thought this album was going to be. And, you know, for a while we were saying this was going to be very retrospective and, you know, looking back and kind of wistful. And I think to a certain extent, that's kind of what we got.
Yeah, especially a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the songs are about looking back. A lot of them about, you know, him singing about how lucky he is.
Yeah.
It's kind of really great in those sort of respects. But at the same time, it's not like a goodbye album by any means.
No.
You know, he's 73 years old, but it sounds based on the songs here that he's still got a lot to give, which is really encouraging and fun to see.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's cool. I think it's a great showing by our boy, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then something else that I wanted to chat about briefly. He's done a bunch of press for this album in the past probably week. He's been, you know, fairly quiet, you know, releasing a couple things on Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. But this past week, he did an interview with Billboard that was really good. And he also, if anybody has 40 free minutes, which, you know, these days I'm sure you do, go watch the Rolling Stone interview with Jimmy. Because it's great. It's really, really, really solid.
Yeah, I really want to check that out. Yeah, what did you learn, Ryan? I know that you sent it to me, and I didn't get a chance to watch it. What did you, give me some cliff notes.
So, again, this was viewed at probably 4:30 in the morning.
Okay, great. Great, we know when you operate.
Yes, yeah. But it was so interesting. Couple takeaways. One, he's quarantining with his family in Malibu, so he is in LA, baby.
Yeah.
The whole interview was kind of just like a retrospective on his career. 2020 is the 50th anniversary of Down to Earth. It came out on August 11th, 1970, which is crazy.
Wow. So we've had
50 years of Jimmy Buffett albums.
Oh, I love that.
It's so cool. And, you know, during the interview, he talks a lot about, you know, the songs that Parrotheads want him to play more. He talked about that poll they put up on Twitter and,
yes.
you know, how surprised he was by some of the responses. It's really, really good, and it fills in a lot of blanks for us, I think. So maybe once you have a chance to watch it, I would love to do just kind of a full episode on it, because I think there are some things that are going to be really good to sort of dive into a little bit more and dissect. But it's a really, really solid interview.
I love that. Did you know that he did a concert on Friday with Kygo? Did you know
Who's
that?
Kygo? I don't know Kygo.
Kygo is like I think he's like a DJ kind of. There was this thing called the Golden Hour Festival that he released an album. And Jimmy Buffett was like a performer on, Friday. He did a like this weird live concert thing on Facebook
Whoa.
Live or something. And it was so strange.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. But he's been out there. I know. I really, look, I got to watch that Rolling Stones interview. I think that sounds really great. Rolling Stones reviewed this album, by the way. Did you see that?
They did, and they gave it, I think, 3 stars.
3 stars, absolutely.
Yeah, which, I don't know. Like, if you do a whole 40-minute interview with the guy, at least bump up 1 star.
I mean, come on. You clogged his Zoom line for so long. What are you talking about?
I know.
yeah, there's a couple little snippets here worth discussing. They talk a little bit about it. The first line is, Jimmy Buffett opens his 30th studio album with some thankful notes on reflection. There's some quotes from that. And then they say, of course, as a pirate looking at 73 who's worth $600 million, Buffett has a lot to feel good about. And he continues mapping out his surfy, sandy corner of pop music utopia with the chill, friendly warmth of a multimillionaire you wouldn't mind sharing a tropically themed 3 p.m. IPA with, especially if his gold car was on the bar when the last round came. So, not shying away from the fact that Jimmy is living a nice, rich life.
What I don't get, though, is I feel like in like the past couple years, most articles I've seen about Jimmy Buffett, like they always lead with how, you know, he is like one of the richest musicians, but they always lead with that, which I don't get.
Yeah, they're obsessed with it. Everyone's obsessed with being like, but he's rich. He talks about, and it's like, well, nothing he talks about is exclusively anti-rich.
No.
Like,
no, it's not.
I don't think it's a surprise. And I think that there's a lot of, I mean, it's escapist. We say this every episode. I don't think it's shocking to say that you want to live his life. And you want to live his life, so you listen to his music, and listening to his music helps him live his life. It's a
exactly.
cycle. Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's crazy.
But yeah, like he's been out there, he's been doing his thing, and there's a lot of good Buffett content right now. So with all that being said, let's dive into this a little bit.
I love it. I can't wait.
So the first track, Down at the La-Di-Da, we listened to it when we opened the episode. We've listened to it on other episodes before. I really like the song. At first, I thought it was, like, you know, super, like, a little too silly, a little too bouncy for me.
Yes.
But the more I listen to it, the more that I realize that it's just, it's what we've said from the beginning. It's just classic, fun, children's music for adults.
It is. It certainly is.
It's so
I would
catchy.
Also say
it's so
Ryan,
energetic. It's a really, really fun song, and it's a fun album opener too.
Amen. I would also second this. I think a big piece of criteria we need for these songs is, first of all, do we like this when we listen to it? Where would we
yeah.
listen to it? And then second of all, I think we need to answer for all of these songs. Would we be excited if this came on at a concert?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I would say,
absolutely.
To me, this one makes me feel like, did him and Van Morrison get in some sort of rights issue where, like, maybe, potentially, we can't do Brown Eyed Girl anymore, so now we need to maybe potentially have our own Brown Eyed Girl. Or as a businessman, Jimmy was like, as you know, he was like, I'm tired of giving the rights away to this song. He's charging me a lot of money. Because I can speak firsthand. One time I tried to post a video on YouTube with a Van Morrison song in it, and I got immediately denied. So they are litigious. I would say whoever's representing Van Morrison is litigious. So I think that's maybe a theory, and I think we're going to have to see in 2021 if he holds true to that theory.
that's very interesting. Like now that I think about it, it is – very, very, very similar to Brown Eyed Girl.
It is. But I love it. And I love Brown Eyed Girl. I think it's a great hit. But can you see them both being played in concert?
No, I can't.
I think it's a strategy. That's all I'm saying.
If I heard this song after hearing Brown Eyed Girl, or vice versa, I would think for a second, didn't he already play this?
Yes. Absolutely.
That's very funny. But yeah, this track, really like it. Think it's a really solid album opener. Think it's very fun.
Me too. Margarita in a Mason jar. I mean, we're updating. That's up with the current trends. You go to a place, they have a margarita in a Mason jar. That's for sure.
We're talking about shabby chic now.
Yeah, Jimmy's moving into shabby chic, and that's something I love. Ryan, the next song is Who Gets to Live Like This?
Yes, Who Gets to Live Like This? So this song, very much akin to what we were talking about before, how he's kind of looking back on his life and, you know, just remembering and contemplating how lucky he is. Let's give it a listen.
Let's do it.
Who Gets to Live Like This? I like it.
This is a good one. This one is one that I feel like an AI who was fed every Jimmy Buffett song could write.
Yeah.
I think it's just the perfect. It's right in the pocket. We know what we're getting.
Exactly. Would you like to hear this in concert?
I don't think I would be dying to hear this in concert. What about you?
I don't think so. I like the musicality of it. I think it's really fun. I think it's a strange choice maybe for second song on the album, but I like it a lot. I don't know. I like the retrospective Jimmy songs, even though like they're all like kind of similar in sort of like theme. Mm-hmm. I think it's great. It's nice. It's good. It's, you know, it's good escapism.
To me, this feels like the older version of making music for money. I feel like this is a very similar vibe where it's like, this is an evolved, this is the guy that wrote Making Music for Money evolved into writing this song. I feel like this is like one of those circular thoughts that he has kind of constantly. So I like it for that. I also wanted to point out that I'm looking up, I'm on the genius.com that kind of annotates lyrics.
Yeah.
And the way this is written out is so funny because there's the first chorus, verse one, or sorry, not the chorus, but there's the first verse. There's wave outside my window. There's airplanes in the sky. That's verse one. Verse two is I left my inhibitions, receding with the tide, talking with the turtles, laying side by side. And then the chorus. singing for money, playing for fun. How did I wind up in this Band on the Run? Band on the Run. And then he does that little Wings homage.
Yeah.
Wake it up, make it up, shake it up, take it up. There's more ways than one. Jack of all trades, master of none. And then verse three, with fortune or without it, for paydays or for free. And then the outro, get to live like this, get to live like this. So there's technically a chorus in this song, but it only plays once.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Which is so funny to me.
Let me see if I can find the chorus. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, oh, my computer is not. Okay, it's still playing. Hold on.
You lost control, Ryan.
Yeah, but the crazy thing was there's the chorus is in there, but I literally had no idea. It just like slid into there so seamlessly.
Yeah. The chorus is like, if you do a chorus one time, is it still called a chorus?
Yeah,
that's
I don't
my
know.
Question.
It's basically just a verse that sounds a little bit different.
Or a bridge, maybe. Because there's never more than one bridge in a song.
That's true, yeah.
So this might be Genius's problem. I don't think Jimmy's thinking like that.
No. Jimmy's a pro.
He's a pro. He knows what's going on. Come on. But I also wanted to bring up this song specifically introduces this thing that he starts talking about a lot, which is that he's a surfer.
Yeah.
And I think he has been surfing a lot, and he has been surfing his whole life, I guess. I know he's been doing it a lot in his older age because there's a lot of videos of him doing it and paddleboarding and longboarding and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he's never really described himself as a surfer.
No.
He's described Einstein as a surfer, but never himself.
I think maybe his character in Hoot was definitely a surfer.
Oh, the teacher? Yeah, he was.
Because
doesn't he like take his surfboard out of his truck or something at some point?
Something like that. Like, didn't he call class early because he was gonna go surfing or something?
Oh
like
yeah,
that?
He's like, I gotta go catch a wave.
So funny. That's a good point. It's been creeping up a lot. Like, he's been posting about it too on like his socials and things like that.
Yeah, he's like into surfing now, which I love.
That's very fun. Good for him, you know?
Good for him. I want to be into surfing. I think it's great.
I've done it once and it was so much fun.
I did it once and I got the most severe board rash on my body.
Ooh,
all over my
awful.
Stomach. Yeah, it was terrible. I was bad at it, turns out.
Oh, man. Well, track three, moving right along, The Devil I Know. This one is really good. This one is, he brings this up in that interview with Rolling Stone. He talks about in his 40s when he did a show hungover, and he said it was one of the worst feelings that he's ever had in his life, not because he was hungover, but because he felt like he wasn't giving the audience his all. Yeah, and like it touches on that a little bit in this song. Like, this is a song about people having a lot of different devils, but alcohol is definitely one of those that's kind of brought up here. But that story was just kind of interesting.
Wow, that's cool.
So yeah, let's give it a little listen. The Devil I Know.
Devil I Know.
Devil I know, devil I know, devil I know. This one's great. It's really, yeah, it's really good. It's akin to like Stars on the Water or Livingston Saturday Night. It's got that like classic bar honky tonk.
Yeah,
kind
it's
of
a honky tonk jam for sure. It's really good. I really like it. I think I would like to hear this in a concert because I bet there'd be some wild guitar solos in the middle of it. This one feels like it could lend itself to some guitar solos.
Yeah, absolutely. And like this album too, it's produced by Mac and Michael Utley, and you can definitely hear like this album is filled with really great just musicianship, period. Like
it's
all of
really
Jimmy's
well
albums,
produced.
Like it's really, really well produced.
Wait, I was gonna ask you, Ryan, this is a quick departure. Shane McAnally is not related to Mac McAnally, right? We figured that out?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I've been watching a lot of Songland. That's been my Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. and I love Songland. I think it's amazing. And
I haven't seen it.
But Shane McAnally is on there. Yeah, you should watch it. It's basically Shark Tank, but with songwriters. So they bring on an artist. Like they had Boyz II Men on recently, and Florida Georgia Line, Martina McBride, Old Dominion. There's all these different people that have been on there. It's like two seasons old. And they bring them on, and then somebody, and then they bring in four songwriters. It's Ryan Tedder, Esther Dean, and Shane McAnally, who are like the judges slash coaches. And Ryan Tedder's One Republic. Esther Dean wrote a bunch of Rihanna, Beyonce songs. Shane McAnally's wrote a lot of Casey Musgrave songs. And then they bring on an artist. Four artists that sing a song for this main artist. That artist picks three to be worked on. Those judges and coaches go off and work on those songs and then bring all of them back. And then the main artist picks one of those songs to record. That's the whole idea.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
It's amazing. It's also got me thinking about if Jimmy was on there because they're so specific about... They're like, you know, the types of lyrics. They're like, oh, we need to change these lyrics, or we need to make these more well-known or more specific, or the music needs to go here. We need to do a more interesting melody here, whatever. And I think a lot about Jimmy's lyrics, to his credit, are incredibly specific based on stuff that I see now. I mean, the specificity, it's something that draws me to him. And that was a long way of saying, I love these lyrics. So there you go.
I do too. I do too. I think it's great. I think it's a good song. I'm glad to see this type of song in here. Like I mentioned at the top, this album has a song for every type of parrothead, I think. Whether you're like the schmaltzy stuff, the goofy stuff, the sweet stuff, it's got one of everything. And this hits that honky tonk note that I love so much. But moving right along into a sweet, wistful song, The Slow Lane, which think is one of my favorites on the album.
I really like this song, too. I really, really, really like it. Let's listen to it.
It's It's so good, and listening to it now, it feels very, very, very Tom Petty to me.
It feels very yes.
Like Wildflowers kind of.
I was going to say Wildflowers, but it's a little like it's like Learning to Fly a little bit. Yeah, it's like very sweet and reflective and enjoyable, but with that added steel drum. I love it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's so good. I would love to hear this song live. I would love to hear even like it's fairly stripped down in this arrangement, but I would love for this to be just like pure acoustic and see what that sounds like too.
Oh my gosh. Spotlight on Jimmy. Yeah. I love it. You know, I listened to this morning. I listened to this while I was bike riding and I turned around into this field and it's usually I go on this route. That's like a river. I go along a river, but today I went through this little kind of farmland area way in the country where there's like no other cars. It's just this small 2-lane road. And, all these dandelions like were like floating in the air. And I was like in this like kind of wooded area, but also there were these cows around me and horses and then these dandelions and it was like golden and then Slow Lane was playing. And I'm like, what? Where am I? What is this heavenly moment? I think I died actually. It was crazy.
Out of all of the songs on this album, I think this is the one that resonates most with me for the time that we're living through right now.
Yes, absolutely.
During a time where we are all forced to take a break and take it a little easier and take it a little slower, this one just hit me in a special spot. I really like it.
We don't have to worry. Just a surfer and his girl. Yeah, Jimmy's a surfer. Just slowly mentioning I'm a surfer, by the way.
So funny.
He loves it. Oh. He loves to bring it up. By the way, I'm a surfer.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was a non-release song. We're gonna get that on the deluxe one. By the way, I'm a surfer.
That's a seaside. Yeah. Also, so wait. Funny. A sides, B sides, and C sides. Why has he never written that?
Oh my God, you're a genius.
Oh my God, call Jimmy. I know you've had his number for years. Let's just call him now for once. A sides, B sides, and C sides. Are you kidding me?
Wow, that's got to be a compilation at some point, right?
Yeah, I think so. And yeah. I get the rights.
You do.
I get the full rights because I came up with the name right here. And you were a witness, and all of you heard
it. This is a verbal watermark.
This is a verbal watermark. This is perfect.
Up next, Ryan, we have, yes.
Let me just say, we did your favorite song. It's time for us to do my favorite song.
I was, okay. This was a game that I was going to wait to play until the end, but I think this is the perfect time to do it. I was going to have us each guess what each other's favorite song was, and this was going to be my pick for you.
You nailed it. You nailed it. Yeah, absolutely.
Take it away, buddy. Tell us about this song.
Okay. Well, this one is called Cussin' Island, and it is an exciting adventure of a parent who tries parenting and gets a little bit more than he bargained for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What's a punishment anyways? You know what I mean? Let's give a listen to Cussin' Island, please.
Oh, let's do it.
I know I'm in trouble if you kids sing along. I hope you don't misconstrue. This could be my Waterloo if you do. And I know the same thing could happen to you. Cruising down the coast of Panama with my kids. Snorkeling with the stairs.
incredible to face some commotion. My kids were fighting on the floor deck. What the hell would Huff Finn do? Hey, young lady, did I just hear you call your brother a stupid little shit? You know you're not allowed to use those words now. Apologize and lick it.
Lick it, he's wet.
That's why I'm taking you to cussing Ivan. Headed this boat south.
Oh my God, it's so, this is like, is this the goofiest Jimmy Buffett, like next to like Math Sucks? Like this is the perfect sister song to Math Sucks.
It is the perfect sister song to Math Sucks. This is a specific, like, I feel like if there's a Marvin Gardens and then there's an opposite Marvin Gardens, there's a hokey Jimmy. That's like this other guy who didn't write this song. So Marvin Gardens is dirty. I don't know. Maybe it's not Freddie and the Fish Sticks. There's a couple. Maybe this is a Tully Mars or a or something. We need to figure out the name for Hokey Jimmy's alter ego because I truly love him. He is. If you have any ideas, let us know. Parrothead Pod on Twitter, parrotheadpodcast@gmail.com. What is the name of Hokey Jimmy's alter ego? That's what I need to know.
Yes.
But I love this song with all of my heart, Ryan. I love it so much.
It's so good, and there is so much more to it. We played 2 minutes of that song, which is that's kind of the max that we usually do. But I would urge anybody to go listen to the other 3 minutes of the song because it is so good. It is so layered, so stacked with so much silliness.
So so what happens is all these kids start cussing on the boat, and he's like, "All right, if you guys are gonna do this, I'm gonna take you to Cussin Island, and then you can really cuss it out." Which I guarantee you he did. He found some little spit of land, and then the lyrics go, "At first they looked a little frightened and dismayed, just like those weird contestants on Naked and Afraid. It started with a smirk, then the dirty words came gushing. I saw dolphins swimming by, even they were blushing. That's incredible. Blushing dolphins. I stood there on the bow feeling like a hypocrite as they fired unholy salvos like a German Messerschmitt," which is the first time that's ever been put in a song, I'm guessing. "They cussed horseflies, homework, Taliban and Barney, piano lessons, etiquette sessions, waking up too early, making beds, taking meds, invasion of our space. They kept it up until they both turned blue in the face." "World on our shoulders, feeling like boulders. We're tired, please give us a hand. This is some weird shit. Cussing ain't worth it. Let's bury those words in the sand." I think this is an amazing idea that a dad was like, "I'm gonna take my kids, you know, you're gonna cuss, let's get it all out, let's go to the someplace you can let it all out," and then they just go for it and you're like, this was a terrible idea.
It reminds me when I was a kid, at some point my mom just told my sister and myself, she said, "This is now an open house." And we were like, "Mom, what does that mean?" And she said, "You kids can say anything you want now." And it was just so freeing.
That's incredible. I remember different instance where I was in Colorado. It was kind of a rough time of a family vacation. My brother, we were sitting in the back seat, my brother and I. My dad was driving. My mom was in the passenger seat. And my brother was staring at me. I must have pissed him off in some way. And he was mouthing the words, "fuck you," to me over and over again. Just mouthing them. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get him. And I'm just going to verbalize it. And I looked at him and I go, "No, Shane, fuck you." And my dad turned around and slapped me in the face.
Oh,
I was like, "You do not cuss at your brother." But I think it was the point of it was that they just didn't like us, that we would cuss at each other, that we get mad at each other because we need to be on each other's sides. So, but they cuss a lot nowadays. So, and I do too. So that's what happens.
That's so funny.
It's very funny. I think we all have moments where we like break that barrier as kids. And that's like very a visceral moment in our brains. I do want to say that Jimmy has a thing at the very end where he says, "That's why we have to have Cussin Island, our rally point and rendezvous. I've sailed many a mile, collected millions of smiles, and I know the same thing could happen to you." So I think it's an important thing to remember that you need a stress release and a
you need some sort of
point.
Outlet.
Absolutely. You need an outlet. And I think that's a good moral. I love a Jimmy story song with a moral. Here's three things that blew me away about this. It has a moral, it's an evolution of a classic Jimmy story song, and I'm so excited to say this, it gives us an entire new island to add to our cartography map, Ryan.
I was going to say the same thing. I wrote that down in my notes. I was going to say the exact same thing. So, like, okay, so for Cussin Island, I imagine it's a very, like you were talking, I imagine it's a very tiny blip on the map.
Yes, I think so. Like the most southernmost point.
Yes, yes. Yeah. This is the place that you go to get all out. You're far away from civilization. You're doing your own thing. This is your own space.
This is it. A lot of people know about it, but it's kind of a secret. And it's where you go to cuss. It's where you get things out.
What a gift.
Huge gift. It's a huge gift. I think we all deserve a Cussin Island.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Do you have a Cussin Island in your life? A place you go where you just are in a lousy mood and you get it all out?
That's a good question. We have a little shed behind our house, and it's a very small little wooden shed.
Nice.
I can go in there and just get it out if I need to.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, what about
that's
you?
That's really good.
Where's your Cussin Island?
I think my Cussin Island out here is probably my bike rides. I scream a lot when I'm biking.
Okay.
Yeah, that's healthy, right? But it's like, yeah, just because I have to go up these hills, and I'm just like, and I usually scream, I hate this! That's usually what I scream, because it sucks. But I usually get over it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man. So good. I knew that was going to be your favorite song.
You knew it. We know each other too well. There's another one that gives it a run for its money, but that's got to be my number one. Ryan, what's next?
Moving right along, we have Oceans of Time. I believe this was the second single released from the album.
Yes.
We've talked about this song before, but let's give it another listen now. Oceans of Time. I appreciate that it's in here.
We've listened to it a lot. We've definitely listened to it. Oh, wait. We didn't discuss. Would you like to listen to Cussin Island in concert?
For sure. Give it to me. I want it played in the opening. I want it played at the end. And I also want two of the three encore songs to be Cussin Island.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all I needed to hear. And might I recommend we dress up the background singers like Nadir and them as children for this one.
Going back to Cussin Island real quick, the only thing I think that would have made that song better is I want a children's choir just singing
oh my
curse
God.
Words.
Like Chanson pour les petits enfants?
Yes.
Yeah. Stupid little shit. Yeah, that would be really good.
that's all I want. Give me that and you have a perfect song.
That's perfect. I'm so into it. Okay, Oceans of Time. Yes, we've discussed this one. Hello,
oh, you there?
Yeah,
sorry,
I just said I lost you
for a sec.
It sounded like a cutoff, but I actually didn't say anything after that. I just said we've discussed this one.
Oh yes, we've discussed this one. Now yep. continue.
And that's and anyways, that's it.
I like this one. I don't love this one, but I like this one. It's very melodic, which I like. I can definitely see this being played in concert, and I can see people swaying back and forth. This feels like it's a good middle point. It would be a good yes. middle point in a concert. It's a good middle point in this album. It's a good sort of, I don't know, it's like a glue that's kind of holding everything together. It's a good transition song.
It's nice. It's a steady. It's a steady for sure.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like it a lot as well. I was thinking about it today that Oceans of Time, for some reason, I keep kind of lumping it in with the idea that it's an older reflective looking out at the ocean. You know, we don't have much time left. But truthfully,
yeah.
it's you and I only have oceans of time. So it's actually
like
about
all the time in the world.
Yeah, it's all the time in the world. We have a lot of time with the people we love. And I think that's a nice thing to think about.
It's another good song for the current time yeah. period that we live in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great. We have time. We have time to do it all. And we have time to yes. work on ourselves. We're not running out of it. You only run out of it when you don't have any more of it. You always have more of it if you're alive. So think about that.
Moving right along, the seventh song. We're only halfway through this thing. That's another
yeah,
thing.
This is
a long album.
Long album. 14 songs, 55 minutes.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Crazy.
The seventh song, Hey, That's My Wave.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's the intonation you're going to go with. Hey, that's
yes.
my wave. Okay.
Hey, that's my wave. I imagine he's very sassy about this.
Yeah, sassy. Hey, mister,
yeah, yeah.
that's my wave. Yeah.
Oh, you added a mister. I like that.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. Let's give Hey, That's My Wave a listen.
Okay, great.
It's good. Two
it's
things
good.
Right off the bat. Another song where he references being a surfer.
yes.
He says, surfing is my life, which is a very, very bold statement.
That's probably the biggest statement that I was like, wait, surfing is your life?
That's what you're going to pick?
Oh, I mean, surfing's always been associated with what we're talking about, but usually the Buffett character is like lying on a beach drunk, you know, not really doing activities at the all-inclusive. But we're getting
right,
more active
right.
in our older age, which is exciting, and a cleaner lifestyle. Anyways.
Yes.
yes. What else, Ryan? You said you had two thoughts.
The other thing is that it's very, very similar to Love and Luck.
Yeah. Oh, this is a thing that I was thinking a lot about Cussin' Island as well. I think you can really trace that he orchestrated and wrote orchestrations for a full musical in this album.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he spent so much time between the last album and this album working on Escape to Margaritaville. I think you can hear kind of a fuller sound in the music. There's some heightening that's very musical. And there's some structure to songs that I'm like, this heightened in a specific way that just sounds like it's a musical. So I just think that's something to keep an eye on.
And that's also something, it's funny you bring that up, that's also something that he talks about in the interview with Rolling Stone. He said that this was kind of their sort of escape, as it were, from working so much on the Broadway show and then the touring show that they kind of went right into this album after doing all of that. So that's a good point. Like, he was definitely in sort of a different songwriting mode.
Can we jump to the end chorus? Because there's some specific things that happen in this song that I wanted to point out. That's my way. Let's all be ready. Your love.
Enjoy, dude. There's some Buffett banter in there, and I can't quite make it out.
Yeah. Well, it's just a lot of, so there's so many voices. It's almost like a soundboard on a DJ at like a morning show, because it's just so many people being like, that's my wave. That's my wave. Hey, that's my wave. Like, they added it through the entire song, and it kills me that I just think we should add different that's my waves every now and then. Because I think they need some more. So if I just wanted to throw a couple out there. Ryan, were you interested in throwing out some that's my waves so they could throw them in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go. Go for it. That's my wave.
Very good. All right, I'll do another one.
Yeah, go for it.
Hey, dude, that's my wave.
Hey, man, that's my wave.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, pardon me. That's my wave.
Hello? That's my wave?
Oh, so,
hey, Toots,
this...
That's my wave.
Sorry. Did you want to move on?
I was just going to say, for anybody keeping track, this is a brand new Parahead Podcast challenge.
Yes, this is That's My Wave challenge.
Feel free to send us, I'm going to call it a smattering of That's My Wave options.
Yes.
As many as you'd like to ParrotheadPodcast @gmail.com or ParrotheadPod on Twitter.
This is the That's My Wave challenge. There's, of course, the Fruitcakes challenge where you can do the Fruitcakes monologue. What are our other challenges, Ryan?
Oh my God, we have so many. This is something that the Finterns are going to have to compile.
Oh my gosh.
Us.
We got to get those Finterns together. We are really behind.
Yeah, we are.
That's my wave.
My wave.
I would also say for the That's My Wave challenge, you're going to have to do a minimum of 5 That's My Waves. So if.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Great.
So moving right along.
I would love to hear this song. I would hear this song in concert for sure. Do we talk about that?
Absolutely. This would be a great song in concert. So moving right along, the next track, The World Is What You Make It. This one, when I listened to the album, this felt to me out of place. And I know why it feels out of place now. This is a cover. This is a cover of, I want to get his name right, Paul Brady is his name.
Paul Brady.
Yes, I believe he's an Irish singer-songwriter, and him and Jimmy collaborated together on this album. I believe Paul Brady is singing in Jimmy's version of his song.
Yes,
so,
I can hear someone else in there.
Yes. So I would love to give this a listen, then give Paul's a listen. Paul's is really, really good, and it's really stripped down compared to this one, which is very, you know, like the whole band is involved. It's kind of boisterous. But let's give both of them a listen, and then we'll chat.
They call Hannibal.
So that's Jimmy's version. I'm going to jump over to Paul Brady's version from the album. What is this album? Nobody Knows? Is that what it's called? I think that might be what it's called.
Are you just saying that because you don't know?
Listen, if I don't know, nobody knows. okay, it looks like the album is called Nobody Knows, but it's a best of album. So who knows? Really, who knows? But this is The World Is What You Make It by Paul Brady. It's really good. I like it.
It's
I like
really
it a lot.
Good version. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Brendan Benson?
No, I don't know Brendan Benson at all. Who's that?
He's a musician. He's a regular collaborator with Jack White.
Oh, cool.
He's in the Raconteurs.
Oh yeah, I know them. That's great.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah. He's got a very, I listened to a couple of his songs this morning. He's got a very kind of Brendan Benson sort of vibe. Really, really good. I'd never heard of him before.
That's amazing. Yeah, I know. I haven't heard of this guy either, Paul Brady. I got to look into him. A fun kind of bluesy, funky guy.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
Also the phrase, rock and roll, send it down the avenue. That's my new catchphrase. So I'm going to be saying that a lot. When I'm just kind of like, move on, pal. Like, I think we're done here. Rock it, roll it, send it down the avenue. Let's move on. Let's go. All right?
Like, who is this guy that just ran into a wall with his bike?
Look, I ran into a bike, but you know what I'm saying today? Rock and roll, send it down the avenue. I am fine. I am fine. I got to get back on. I got to start screaming again. Okay, I got to get to Cussin Island today. Rock and roll, send it down the avenue. Oh my God.
Sir, are you okay?
I'm fine. Okay, I'm take you to Cussin Island if you don't let me go. Come on.
It's a good song. This song, Jimmy's version, feels like it would fit in right at home on Far Side of the World.
Yeah. I think so. Because it's got that like, I don't know. All I can describe it as like the kind of music they play in commercials for Joe's Crab Shack. You gotta go eat at Joe's. Like, do you know Joe's Crab Shack?
Yes.
Yeah, I grew up with a lot of those. So I feel like there's this kind of like funky, like bad to the bone kind of like, that they kind of do. So,
And then there's just, there's very, like, I've never heard more aggressive la la la's in a song.
No, they're so aggressive. The la la la's are so incredibly aggressive. Absolutely. they're really wild.
Would you like to hear it? Would you like to hear it in concert?
You know what? I'm give or take on this one. If it comes up in concert, I think I would welcome it. I don't think that I would be asking for it in concert.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. I'm with that. Yeah,
but it could be fun. And maybe somebody brings out a flame thrower or something. That would be really fun.
What the fuck is this? It's so funny.
It's fun. Ryan, the next song we got is Half Drunk, which you've already heard in concert.
I've already heard in concert, and I will say in concert, wasn't a huge fan of it. Here, okay. This is might be one of my top songs.
Wow, huge.
It's really good. It's you the like classic. It in studio. Yeah, I like it in studio. It's a classic schmaltzy Jimmy that we don't get a lot of anymore.
No.
But I'm glad he's here. So let's give it a little listen.
Let's do it.
It's so good.
It's great.
It's
I really
so
like that
good.
One. Yeah, it's really, great. Really, it's silly and schmaltzy. It's got a little Why Don't We Get Drunk in there. It's got a little, what is that one? The boat, Lovely Cruise.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yeah
Bob Roberts. It's all in there.
Yeah, it feels like, I don't know, like it feels like a song you would hear at like 3 a.m. in like a underground jazzy sort of club. You know?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Smokey.
Yes.
Somebody at the bar passed out on the bar.
Yes.
Somebody at the bar passed out on the bar.
Yeah, I like it. Heard it in concert, enjoyed it in concert, would love to hear it again now knowing what the studio version sounds like. You?
Yeah, I would like to hear this one in concert. Especially if it was like an encore or if it was like later or if it was like a Freddie and the Fish Stick situation. Where they
did
a real fun little jazzy quartet kind of thing. I think that'll be really awesome.
Yeah, I'm into it.
I love it. This next song, Ryan, really liked, actually. And it actually is going to kick off a new mystery for us, which I'm excited about.
Ooh, okay, okay.
I'm going to tell you about it.
Really, really solid song. Let's give it a listen.
Let's do it.
This is a fun one. It's really
good.
And
wait, keep playing it a little bit longer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go. The postman starts his outboard because we get our mail by boat. That song I penned in 81 still keeps our world afloat. If it wasn't for the radio and those arrow-headed fans, I'd have to get a day gig, which would surely spoil my plans. Mailbox money. Sailing in, I feel like royalty. They still hum that melody from France to Newfoundland.
Did you catch at the beginning of that second chorus, he changes it to mailboat money?
Oh, interesting. Because of Mailboat Records.
Mailboat Records.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. So my question to you.
Yes.
What is the song he penned in 81 that keeps the world afloat? Because
I was thinking of the same thing.
I'm looking at the songs that he's penned in 81, and they are not the songs that you would guess are the ones that have kept his world afloat.
Okay.
So according to Wikipedia, 1981, the singles he released were Elvis Imitator, It's Midnight and I'm Not Famous Yet, and Where's the Party?
Oh my God. Ooh.
So what's the song that he penned in 81?
Wow.
Because
that's interesting.
I would guess Margaritaville, 77. Cheeseburger in Paradise, 78. Fens, 79. Volcano, 79.
Ooh. Okay, so what were those three again?
Elvis Imitator, It's Midnight and I'm Not Famous Yet, Where's the Party? One thing you could guess, right, if you go to like his albums, because that is somewhere over China, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I just don't know why he picked 1981, which was released in 82, somewhere over China. I don't know.
It's because it's so specific. It's so specific.
Yeah, unless he wrote it for somebody else and we don't know.
Or maybe 1981, like, did it play on any commercials or anything in 1981? Did, like, an older song play on anything?
Did he write, like, O'Reilly. Did he write that song?
He's secretly like a Barry Manilow type.
Yes. Okay. Coconut Telegraph. Coconut Telegraph was written in 81. So Coconut Telegraph came out. And on that list, we have Coconut Telegraph, Incommunicado, It's My Job, Growing Older But Not Up, The Good Fight, The Weather Is Here, Wish You Were Beautiful, Stars Fell on Alabama, Island, and Little Miss Magic. Those are the songs he released in 1981.
Huh. Okay. I mean, like, out of those, like, It's My Job and The Weather Is Here, Wish You Were Beautiful are probably the ones that have, like, stayed the longest, maybe?
Maybe.
But even still, like, I don't know, like, a Coconut Telegraph, I know he uses that in, like, you know, some branding things, but, this is tricky. You're right. This is a really good mystery. What is this?
What's the song he wrote in 1981? If you know, please, please reach out to us.
Yes.
ParrotHeadPod on Twitter, ParrotHeadPodcast@gmail.com. I would love to know the answer to this. What is the one? I mean, in 1981, he did found the Save the Manatee Club. So that's something to think about. Maybe that got him a lot of money. Maybe it was a for-profit charity that ended up getting him millions, saving the manatees.
We have so many Jimmy Buffett mysteries. It's insane.
I know. It's wild. That's what happens when you do this for 4 years, Brian.
I know.
Crazy.
Mailbox Money, would love to hear it live. Love the song. I think musically it's one of the most interesting songs on the album. I just love listening to it.
This is probably my second favorite. I really like Mailbox Money.
Yeah. Moving right along, track 11. This one is very reminiscent of the Slow Lane. This one's called Slack Tide.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
I've got a fish on a line, but there won't be a feast. We've got too much in common, and he shall be released. I've seen day turn to night and watched the changing of seasons. Things don't just happen, they happen for a reason. Catch the right current or capture a breeze. Out here, conflicts and chaos completely subside. Sailing back to where I came from, back to slack tide.
I love it.
It's
I
really
love
good.
It a lot.
That guitar, that little guitar riff is so good.
Bum, bum, it is.
Bum, 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 bum. It's so
good.
This
album is filled with small little gems like that.
I love it. Also, I just realized that I forgot to mention that during Hey, That's My Wave, he at the very end mentions Cussin' Island, which I wanted to just call out.
Because oh,
there's a couple
right.
of callbacks
call
that come up. I want to go to Cussin' Island. And you're like, all right, Jimmy. We're really trying to push Cussin' Island now. I love it. This song is so great and reflective. Just the simple lyrics of when he said, things don't just happen, they happen for a reason. I mean, I love
yes.
that. Yes. I don't know. It's very simple, very sweet.
It's really, really good. I loved it. Would love to hear it in concert. Also, something, his last studio album had a song called Tides on it. In this album, he has a song called Slack Tide. Just
wow.
something interesting.
And the concert was going to be named Slack Tide.
That's true. You're right.
And
Slack
we
Tide
thought
tour.
For a long time that the album was going to be called Slack Tide.
That's right. And here we are.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy.
Live like it's your last day.
Yes.
This one, I think this is a good one. This is a good one. I don't remember much
yeah.
of this one.
This one doesn't stick with me.
Yeah. Let's give it a listen, though. Let's see what we're dealing with here.
Let's see what people, let's tell people what they're dealing with. Oh, yeah, I like this one actually. This was great.
Steel drums, baby.
Oh, yeah, give me those.
It's good. Oh, wait. I'm going to listen to this part. There it is. It's good. If, you know, like talking about Somewhere Over China just a couple minutes ago got that stuck in my head, and this feels like it would kind of fit on that album, too.
Yeah. And one thing I want to say is this is also the third or fourth or fifth song that he's mentioned Rosé.
You're right.
Like on this
Jimmy
album.
Is Jimmy secretly a big Rosé fan?
I think Jimmy loves Rosé, to be honest with you. Also, there's a reference, not in this song, but in several other songs, there are Latin American countries. We have Ecuador,
yes,
Panama,
you're right.
and Cuba, and then Exuma, which we don't really talk about, but that's a Caribbean country. That's an interesting thing to think about. And then also, this reversal here. We have Oceans of Time, and then you wait a little bit longer. Time to live like it's your last day. So think about that. He kind of tricks you there. He's like, we got Oceans of Time. And then he's like, actually, we don't.
There's a loop.
Yep. You got just comfortable, and then now you're squirming in your seat a bit.
This the penultimate song on the album, 15 Cube Minutes. This was my runner up for your favorite song.
Really? I mean, this is a good one.
It's a good one. It's very reminiscent of Everybody's Got a Cousin in Miami.
Mm-hmm. It is very similar.
very it's a
similar.
very very fun song. I think it's also the longest song on the album, 5 minutes and 15 seconds.
And you know what I love about it? It's got some references. It's got some hot references.
Yeah. Let's give it a listen. Let's check it out.
All right. Let's do it.
I love when the whistle makes an appearance.
Yep. Bring that whistle in. He called his whistle guy up. He said, I got another one for you.
It's good.
It's good.
It's really fun.
It's really good. It's great. And then we got some references later to they're looking for a soundtrack and heard one of my songs, so I sang Havana Daydreaming to just me and my guitar to some very stern KGB guys trying to blend in at the bar. Weird stuff. This is a fun one. It's like the history of Cuba in this 5-minute song.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's really fun. Would love to hear this live.
Yes, me too. This one would be a blast. Oh my gosh.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. The Greeks and the Egyptians had sundials in the sand. Now we have atomic clocks that measure the Big Bang. Still, I prefer the simple way. Let's take it to the street. We're walking and less talking. Tap time with your feet. I mean, come on. Let's have a party.
So good. It's so much good. Fun.
Don't bother with the Wi-Fi. Fuck Siri. Ask Jose. What are we talking about?
He crams a lot in this song.
This is a kitchen sink song for Jimmy, and I love it. It's very, very good. Let's get this right, and let's open the concert with this. I think it's exciting. There's so many hits on this song, on this album, that people would love to hear in a concert, and I hope he plays them.
Oh, yeah. You know, it goes back to kind of what we said at the beginning. This is an album for Parrotheads. This feels like a very kind of party album. Like, everybody's invited, you know? It feels it just feels very, I don't know. I like it a lot.
It's a blast.
The final song, interesting little tidbit about this song. It was written not by Jimmy Buffett, but it was actually written by Aaron McAnally and Nick Utley. Mike Utley's son and Aaron McAnally, Mac McAnally's daughter.
Wow, that's so cool. And they wrote this.
Super cool.
Because it feels so personal from Jimmy.
Yeah, they wrote this, and I believe this is also you got to watch that Rolling Stone interview, because I think this is also referenced in there, where they came up with this song, and Jimmy really liked it and thought that it would be a great song to kind of end the album on. We'll close out on this song. What are your kind of overall thoughts? This is a big deal. First new album, first new studio album since we've started this podcast 15 years ago.
I know.
his 30th studio album. This is the 50th anniversary of his very first album. So in a lot of ways, this is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. I would say my final thoughts are, I love this album. I think it's great. It's a good addition to the Jimmy Buffett catalog. This song, also this last song we're listening to, Book on the Shelf, I think if this was played in an encore or the final song of the night at a concert, it would be amazing. I love this song.
Yes, I agree.
I think overall, I'm so happy it exists. It is a nice kind of sweet, island breeze in my day. It's really calming. It's really peaceful. I enjoy it a lot, and I'm happy it exists. I think it's a good one. What about you, Ryan?
I had a blast listening to this. There's no song on here that I skip. I've listened to all of it all the way through each time. I think it's really, really great and has a lot of staying power. Because I feel like the past couple of studio albums for Jimmy, you know, they've been good and they've had their fair share of fun moments and, you know, little tidbits and Jimmy hits and stuff like that, but none of them have really grabbed me the way that this one does. I would rank this, you know, definitely towards kind of the top of his 30. It's really good, really fun, and it's just nice hearing an album that was purely for the fans. Yeah. So I'm a big fan. I love all these songs, and you know, this last one, Book on the Shelf, is really, really great. So we're gonna end it there.
Thank you, Jimmy. Oh wow! So we gotta go. So that's my wave.
Hey, that's my wave.
That's my wave.
Hi, that's my wave.
Deborah, that's my wave. Oh, why are you missing my wave?
That's Ray Romano. That was my Ray Romano impression of him doing That's My Wave.
So Deborah, good. That's my wave. Why?
Deborah.
I'm working on it.
All right. Until next time, I am Mayfair Marleybone.
I'm St. Charles, Tennessee. Stay safe. We love you. Tell the people you love that you love them. We'll see you next week. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Meet you at the end.
Meet you at the end. Meet you at the end.
Well, I hope you have fun splashing in the slack tide. Unchaperoned over on the flip side, I write what I know about, made up or true. These songs aren't for me, they're for you. Memories like meteors fly through my head. The sand was pearl white, her bikini bright red. Retracing song lines gives me goose pimples still, like the trail boards up on Boo Boo Hill. I know these stories were all lived before me. Still, I've got a couple that I'll keep to myself. I'm so damn lucky to have lost our cast. Some lovely, some crazy.
Hey, it's Mia.
Hey, it's Allie.
And we host the Rom-Com Review podcast, P.S. I Love Rom-Coms.
Each week, we'll have incredible guests come and discuss a new rom-com, grand gestures, meet-cutes, and of course, that elusive chemistry. Mia, what are you doing holding that giant boombox over your head? I'm hoping to win over listeners with this grand gesture. Take us back! Find a new episode every week and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Campfire Media. Wow, you're still holding that boombox.
Yeah, I've got great upper body strength. Thanks, CrossFit.
P.S. I love rom-coms.
I love rom-coms.
Campfire.